Our Collision 2018 coverage is proudly powered by Amazon Prime. Find out all the ways you can benefit from a Prime subscription and get a 30-day free trial by going to collision.live/prime and by audiobooks.com. Get a free 30-day trial and a book to keep by going to collision.live/audiobooks using promo code TRY70. We have our next guest here. Hello. Oh, one more try.
Am I on?
You are now.
Okay, excellent.
Go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
Hello, my name's Carlos Romero. I'm with Apex from Albuquerque.
Okay, and what is Apex?
Well, Apex is a consulting firm. We do program evaluation.
Okay.
We evaluate health, education, social service programs. And out of that has emerged two apps that we're here for. We're Alpha for one and Beta for the other.
Oh, interesting.
So they're tied together by this idea that we have too much data, not enough insight.
If I can get you to pull your microphone just a little closer to you.
Like that?
There you go. Just
that
like
better?
That. That's
all right.
Perfect. Okay, so we've got one in Alpha, one in Beta. I remember seeing you in the program list now,
right?
And seeing Apex
showing up a couple
twice,
times, right? That
like
created some
apart.
Issues for registration. They didn't know what to do with us.
Yeah, we tend to do that to them too.
Yeah.
They never quite know what
well,
to do with
it's
us.
It's good to always be that people remember us because we cause problems.
Yes, indeed.
Disruptive maybe is the better.
We actually lucked out that somebody remembered us, and that's why this year was easier for
excellent.
Us. Anyway, So one in Alpha, one in Beta. So what have we got?
So Alpha is the newer one, and that's one we're presenting today, and it's called Perspectives, and it's a video survey app. And the idea is that we have lots of data, but we need context to make meaning out of data. And context could mean more data, and context could be story behind the data. And Perspectives is about that. How do we collect lots of stories and analyze them in more rigorous ways in conjunction with the quantitative data? And it's when evaluations for learning.
Okay. So Let's do a use case.
Okay.
Give me an example of somebody using this from start to finish.
Okay. So we work with an after-school program in Albuquerque, and they've been doing a parent survey for a number of years and wanting to know why are parents choosing their program, how do they decide, and they had a multiple select traditional survey. Is it cost? Is it convenience? Is it staff? Is it hours? And it was multiple select, so people would select everything, and they really weren't learning what parents were thinking. I mean, not literally everything, but they would be which one was more primary? Which one were they thinking of?
Sure.
So last year we pitched them on the idea of doing a video survey where we just gave a very neutral prompt. So we asked parents, and it's an app, right? It's on an iPad. And so we asked them, why did you choose the program? And then they can record their responses. And there was a couple of things, even things we didn't think of, is it was much easier for Spanish-speaking parents to give their perspective.
Interesting.
And we were able to just truly get their voice. So it's a neutral prompt. And then what we learned out of 100 parents is the staff was thinking that they were really marketing based on low cost. None of the parents mentioned cost. Four of them mentioned affordability, which is different than cost.
Different than cost.
And the number one reason was convenience. You're at the school. So what they realize is that their customer really is not the parent, it's the principal. Once they're in the school, then parents just choose them without really thinking.
Yeah.
And certainly not around cost. But then the other thing that emerged was...
At that
was
point, they discover that they're leaving money on the table, potentially.
Yes. Also,
that's one of the things that you learn out of that particular survey is you might be leaving money on the table because cost isn't the thing they necessarily care about.
Cost was not important.
Yeah.
But trust was, and it really bubbled up that, and that wasn't one of their options, even though one of their options was staff, but really that's different than
trust.
The relationship and the trust. So here's an after-school program that learned from something from the qualitative data that they weren't learning from what they thought was quantitative data. And there are other use cases, but that's probably the one that makes sense.
So They learned that one of the primary reasons people were choosing was something that they weren't even asking before.
Correct.
Okay. So this allowed them to accidentally ask a totally different question without feeling like they were asking a different question. They just asked, why did you pick? And it turns out one of the main reasons they hadn't even considered.
Exactly. And I think the idea is that we want to get, we truly want to get their perspective in their voice, unfiltered, versus them responding to our perspective, which are our words and our choices.
Yeah.
We did the same survey with students, too, and found out that that fairness kind of bubbled up, where students were saying, we like it here because, you know, we get treated fairly. And that was a pretty strong theme. And again, that idea of, like, it comes down to the culture that they're creating in the after-school program, not... Again, their own preconceived ideas of why, you know, what activities. Because they were thinking, oh, if we do more of this activity or that activity. And kids were just like, you know, we like the way we're treated here. Our friends are here. And so that's the type of insight that we can get when we really get people's perspective.
Okay.
So that's the first step.
That's great, obviously. That example is a great one to be able to see.
Yeah, and I think there are other ones that are probably a little more nuanced around what people are wanting to learn. So that's the one that sort of I think you can relate to. And
everybody
can
relate to, yeah.
Sure.
And it's the first survey that they were doing was based around what they thought the program was.
Exactly.
And it turns out, no, that's not.
Yeah.
Nobody else is looking at the program the way you guys are.
And sometimes it's not as dramatic, right?
Sure.
But I think you can always learn something.
Great example of how dramatic it could be.
Right.
Because we see the thing that we're doing in the way we're doing it.
Exactly.
But that's not necessarily because we do viewer surveys, especially before and after an event like this.
Yeah.
And we ask how did you like it, that kind of thing. And we pull out all kinds of information out of it, but you could.
Yeah, and I think that we're getting ready to use it for a conference where they want to know more than what they get out of the traditional, like, what did you like, and really just kind of get someone's unfiltered perspective. And
that's
the idea is you can do it at scale.
Right.
So they're very short videos, and you can see what patterns emerge at a bigger scale. So we call it the efficiency of the power and depth and richness of an interview with the efficiency and scale of a survey.
Okay, so it's all done via video.
Yes, it's via an app. Well, but you can integrate. You can ask non-video questions, too.
So you can ask multiple types of media as the answers
to different
questions.
And then relate them
to
each other.
Okay, got it.
So,
very cool. I like that.
And we're white labeling a tool that is not exactly the best tool for collecting data, but even if it was, that's only one part of the system is we need to do a better. We are manually translating, transcribing. We're using an analytical software, a qualitative software tool, and then we're using creating our own custom reports. So the idea of perspectives is that we could braid together all of the existing technologies into one seamless system and really scale it for anyone that's doing qualitative research, evaluation, universities, nonprofits, for-profits. There's a pretty big market around people that are doing qualitative research and maybe aren't learning everything they could learn.
Okay. So before we leave this one and go into beta, let's talk about availability and cost.
Okay.
So it's in alpha.
Right.
Which means it's fairly early in its life.
Yes. Right.
So where is it right now?
Well, I think where we're at is knowing that we're selling it to our clients. Our evaluation clients really like the idea. And so we have 5 or 6 use cases. And so even though they're not paying for perspectives, we're sort of upselling them on the idea that we can do a video survey. So I think that there's at least proof of concept that people are willing to pay to learn more. And what we also know, we're very active in the American Evaluation Association. So we're well connected into the whole industry. So this really ends up being more business to business, that anyone that's doing evaluation, whether it's in the public or private sector, any evaluation and research would be the market for it.
Okay.
So we're kind of still at an early stage of figuring out what the channels are and what the total available market is. But,
gotcha.
But we think we might have something.
Okay. So now let's say I wanted to run a post-collision survey of our viewers to find out things like what we do for CESs. Were you swayed based on any of our interviews to purchase or interact with a company? Things like that.
Yeah.
What would that take for me to be able to do that?
Yeah, so it'd probably be a custom quote because in this case we would be evaluating. We'd be more of the service of evaluation.
Okay.
And then we would say, and here's a tool that we can use.
Got it.
So I think part of what we're trying to do is transition. What if people don't necessarily need the evaluation piece, but they're really interested in using a tool that kind of has a lot of our evaluation ideas built into
it? Got it.
So I think part of the trick is, how do you ask the right question?
Okay.
How do you make sure it's a neutral prompt so that you're not just getting people, like we said, why do you like the after school program?
Got it.
Then we're assuming they do, and then they might be saying, oh, because of this. But why did you choose is a little more neutral.
Yeah, got it. Understood.
So anyway, it would probably be at this point a custom quote.
Okay.
We don't. Our other software, we do have more of a pricing model.
Okay, gotcha. So let's talk about the other one.
Sure. So the other one's called Just Health, and it's a risk screening tool for adolescents. So even though it's like completely different, it's still the same idea that how do we make better sense of data?
Okay.
So we're in school-based health centers. We're in 100 school-based health centers, which is basically a doctor's office right inside of a school, usually where healthcare access is low, usually where there's high poverty.
Okay.
And it asks questions about a lot of different things from home and school life, safety and trauma. But really, it's getting into mental health, anxiety and depression, substance use, and sexual health and the intersectionality of those things to really understand what the risks are.
Sure.
And help those providers do a better job of serving those underserved kids.
Okay.
And so we're a national CDC center for technology. They're very interested in reaching in the sexual health portion because that's one of their biggest struggles.
Have
20 million STDs a year. Half of them are adolescents.
Right.
Most of them were asymptomatic at diagnosis. There could be 2 to 3 more times as many STDs undiagnosed. And so CDC is very interested in getting at kids that might not necessarily be presenting for an STD concern, but they're showing up for healthcare, flu shot, sports physical, some other reason. And that's where Just Health comes.
So some of those sound like a lot of those STD diagnoses were accidental? Like they weren't there for that?
Exactly. So you show up for a sports physical and you're saying, hey, it sounds like you're sexually active. It sounds like you're not, your condom use is not what it could be. And it's also about no stigma, right? More communication, less stigma.
Yeah.
So we might say, and so you should get tested just routinely. And so that's how we're finding kids.
Got it.
And particularly kids that are dealing with gender identity, sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
It's we're finding patterns where it's very much related to trauma and abuse and substance use and mental health.
Sure.
So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's the idea of Just Health.
That
it's mental health is just health. Sexual health is just health.
Yeah.
And there's a moral imperative that we do a better job of serving our youth.
Yeah,
in that
for
area.
Sure. Interesting. So this product fits into the process, like in a health center. Is that where it's designed to be, or?
Right. Yes, I mean so right now it is part of a clinical encounter of some kind, and so it's given at intake, and then there's a visit that happens. But what we're getting a lot of interest is from the school setting, since school-based health centers are inside of a school. Schools are wanting to do more universal screening. And we're up in Colorado. We're mostly in New Mexico and Colorado. We have some sites in Hawaii and New Jersey. And then our CDC focus is national. But the idea that in schools, then we can actually do even broader surveillance around kids that might need help of any kind, but particularly this idea that we should promote more regular testing, STD testing.
Gotcha. Okay. So if somebody is interested in finding out more about any of the things that the company is doing, but these two in particular, how can they do that?
Well, our main website is apexeval.org, and that's where you get information about evaluation and perspectives. And then justhealth.org is a little easier to remember. Justhealth.org will get you to everything, but focused on that app. And it is a annual licensing model at this point.
Okay.
We're trying to right now. It's packaged to our evaluation services, but we have some people that just want Just Health. And we're pursuing investment, we're pursuing strategic partnerships to try to figure out what's the best scalability of that tool.
Gotcha.
Because that one we have lots of happy users, a few of them are paying customers, and we want to figure out what's the next step to take that to a bigger level.
Understood. And is that what the company's goal here at Collision is to find investment opportunities and
I think
partners?
It's at least a scouting expedition to see what this world might look like. We don't have any investment at this point.
Okay.
It's all been funded by the grants and our evaluation work and sort of self-funded. And so, yeah, I think that right now we're in an exploratory learning mode to see what this world is about. It's not the world I live in. So, I'm trying to just be curious and
gotcha.
Listen.
Well, cool. Hopefully Collision is going to be a success for you, and I definitely appreciate you coming and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope we didn't talk too fast, but
no, not at all.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I really like both products, and I like how they're obviously like built.
Yeah, almost. I think that some people think that I'm like chasing two different things, but I think again, my passion is how do we make data useful for people, and how do we make sure we're learning from data and not just churning information.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are related.
You've got the eval, and then the Just Health is basically seems like a focused implementation of.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks.
Appreciate it.